Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble here. Good to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been hanging around with us already today, thanks for that. And I'm excited about getting Stephen Gaffney back on the show. Stephen's the author of Just Be Honest. He travels the world explaining and teaching people the not only the importance of being honest, but the value of being honest in our communication. That's what we're going to talk about today. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back.
I like Stephen, being on your show.
I appreciate that. I'm reading from a section of your book here. I want to read this paragraph. The most critical strategy in honest communication is to distinguish between what you notice and what you imagine. Can you help us with that?
Absolutely. That distinction actually comes from Gestalt therapy. But in essence, what it is, it's a distinguishing notice from imagine. In essence, fact versus opinion. And that sounds so obvious for a lot of people, but that's the number one reason why people get defensive is when we communicate our opinions as if they're facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, somebody who's not returning our calls, we sometimes think, well, they don't want our service, or they don't respect us, or they're upset with us. No, all that means is they didn't return their call.
They've just been busy.
But people read into it, and then they, and the worst part about it is once we form a conclusion in our mind goes to search for other information to confirm it rather than to deny it,
mm-hmm.
which is important because a lot of people see, what, in essence, what they want to see, and that's what's so important about that distinction.
Right. Well, when you talk about communication with people, when you talk about, you know, this interaction that we all have to have during our day in the marketplace, you help people understand the difference between the communication, just being honest in our communication just because it's the right thing to do, and being honest in our communication because it's the efficient thing to do. You differentiate, don't you?
Absolutely, and that's so important because it's not about right and wrong. You could maybe argue that honesty is the best policy from a morality issue, but the problem with doing that is it pushes people's buttons and you don't need to do it.
Because,
for example,
my honesty is better than your honesty, right?
Well, absolutely. And
isn't that what you were just talking about? The what we notice versus what we imagine. I mean, what you think is honest? You know, is maybe I don't think it's so honest.
Absolutely. And how do we define honesty?
Yeah.
And I mean, all of those things we can discuss. But in essence, what's so important is for us to be able to say what we need to say and ask the questions we need to ask to accomplish this. We just don't need to argue from a right and wrong. I'll give you a good example. A client of mine last week wanted me to focus on that yelling is morally wrong and inappropriate in the workplace. And I refused to say that. And the reason for that is we don't need to do that. I can argue that yelling is an ineffective form of communication in the workplace. And what happens is it shuts down communication. If I argued that point from a morality angle, some people would say, well, it's right to yell. I mean, sometimes it's important to yell and blah, 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 blah. And they might cite their family dynamics and how they grew up and how they knew that their father and their mother was upset when somebody yells. Well, yes, but let's take a look at that. How effective is it at work? And so we don't have to argue these things from a morality standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's from an effectiveness standpoint.
I'm glad you were there to help him with that, because if I'd been there, I'd have said, well, I'm going to tell you people yelling is a stupid thing to do at work. I'm glad you were there to be a little more diplomatic than I would have been about that. But I guess I wouldn't have put as nice a point on it as you did. But it is. I mean, it affects. And you know what? If this just seems so silly that we're talking about yelling in the market in our businesses. But I guess there are people out there who actually do this. I mean, how can you, if you do something like that in your business? Never mind that it's going to demoralize the other employees who are not part of the yelling contest, but it's got to be touching a customer eventually.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a really great point. I often say to audiences, if you're mad and you're on the phone and you're mad at your client, here's my coaching. Get off the phone.
Right.
Do whatever it takes. Excuse yourself. Go outside, yell, whatever, rant and rave. But if a person thinks that that message isn't carrying through on the phone, they're absolutely wrong. Because, and here's how we know they're absolutely wrong as far as not being effective. I'm sure you can tell when somebody gets upset with you on the phone, but they act like they're not. Like when you're talking to a customer service rep from another company, and you're asking somebody's asking a lot of questions, and the person negatively reacts to us, but they're trying to act like they're helping us.
Well, you know, Rick, I mean, Stephen, nobody ever does that with me because I'm so lovable. I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never had anybody to act, you know, mad or angry or shout at me because I'm so lovable. Nobody could be mad at me. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll wake up from my dream in a minute, folks. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Stephen Gaffney, the author of Just Be Honest. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with Stephen Gaffney. Stephen is the author of Just Be Honest. And Stephen, we're talking about how to help people understand that there really are all, you talk about there being a lot of different levels of honesty. And by that I mean, you know, honesty means telling the truth, obviously, but in our communication, there are a lot of different opportunities for us to be honest in our day when by doing that, it makes the operation much more efficient. We don't have to come back and redo a bunch of stuff because we've said what we thought at the beginning, and the communication, the two-way communication was honest both ways, and it actually becomes a return on investment activity, doesn't it?
Absolutely. One of my clients used the strategies we taught her and won a $20 million contract that the company had previously lost. And I asked her what she did, and she said basically when we lost the contract, instead of just sitting there, I called the client and asked them why we had lost it, mm-hmm. and learned from that. And it so happened that then the other company that they had awarded to started to immediately have problems, and so they pulled it, and then they reassessed it, and then she knew how to rebid it from getting the correct information. So much of life, especially when we're running a small business, is looking at a situation and saying, all right, do I have the information? Or if I only had the information, I could do an effective job in winning something. Well, these types of strategies and being honest with clients and potential clients can enable us to win a lot of business.
One of my favorite stories that I tell on myself, many, many, many years ago, I was a young pup, you know, full of myself, and I walked into to a plant. I was working for Xerox. And I walked into a plant, and I was talking to the accountant, the plant accountant who made the decisions. And he was an older guy, and he was a crusty old curmudgeon, and who didn't suffer fools gladly at all. I didn't know him; I just met him, and I walked in, and I was definitely more aggressive than I should have been. And so he said, whenever I got ready, toward the end of the visit, he said, well, Jim, you've certainly given me the business. And I'll never forget him saying that as long as I live. And you know, in a minute or two, I stood up, shook his hand, and left without any business. And I walked about 10 feet out of his door, and I stopped, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let this go. And I turned around, and I knocked on his door again, and his name was Mr. Keener. I'll never forget. I said, Mr. Keener, I think I didn't do a very good job when I was in here a few minutes ago. Can I start over again? He said, sure, Jim, come in, have a seat. And I went back and I started all over again and did it the way it should have been done. And I had his business as long as I was in business with him.
Wow, that's terrific.
And it was just a matter of me admitting to myself, being honest with myself that, you know, that the problem wasn't him, the problem was me. When he let me be honest with him about that, it turned everything around. The whole relationship turned around. After that, you know, I got whatever I wanted out of him almost.
good for you in asking questions. So many people would be afraid, and you know, what do you have to lose? If you continue to walk out the door, you never would have known, and it wouldn't have never been your great client of yours.
Well, and you know, one of the things I've learned about, and this is an important ROI point, I think, Stephen, is why am I in business? Am I in business to feed my ego and to always be right, or am I in business to be successful financially and professionally successful? You know, I mean, I think, isn't that one of the things that really prevents honesty is we let our ego get in the way?
Oh, absolutely. Another aspect, we also let our fears get in the way. We don't often ask the questions we need to ask, have the conversations we need to ask. Like, I'll give you a good example. I see a lot of it with small businesses. Obviously, I have a small business, and I see other people who have their small businesses. The fear of asking for business, and then once we have the business, to kind of manage our finances, and specifically, if a bill is late. We get so afraid. How do I approach the client? I don't want to offend them. But, you know, they haven't paid the invoice.
Right.
And, you know, but we're running a business here. And so how do we have these conversations? And the truth is, if we just have an upfront conversation, usually people can be understanding. It can look like, you know, I noticed we had sent an invoice. Just want to see where we're at with things. Mm-hmm. You know, and when can we expect a check? Anybody who doesn't respect that conversation, you got to look at whether they're a smart client for us to have. But that we often get afraid. So it's not only ego, but it's also fears that stop us.
In another part of your book, Stephen, you talk about some ways to resolve difficult issues. And I want to talk about a couple of these. One of the things you say is, say it with the true belief that you might be wrong.
Well, when we're presenting our opinions and we're, let's say, maybe even upset about something, one of the best things to do is to come at it from a position that we may be wrong. Like a good role model for people to say, well, what is that? How does that look? Columbo, the detective.
Yeah.
Peter Falk, who plays that. He just does a great job, but he never accuses anybody of the murder.
Right.
Never blames anybody. He's always assuming and coming from a position that maybe he's confused. So it may look like this. I notice you're saying this. I notice you. Would be a good example. I notice you said you want to work with me, and I notice we've talked for a few months and we haven't done any work. Is everything okay? Can I give you some more information? Is there something missing? And asking these types of questions, but from a position that maybe we're missing something, but either way, we're still asking them the question.
Mm-hmm.
So using the Columbo method, or as I say in the book, I also say about the Columbo method, but specifically coming from a position that maybe we're not seeing it correctly, really lowers the other person's guard, and it enables them to open up, much different than when we may accuse somebody.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Stephen to talk to us about some ways to prevent big communication issues. And he's got some important points in here that I think will really help to improve communication in your operation, your relationship with customers, your associates, your employees, and I believe it'll actually put more money on your bottom line. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Stephen Gaffney, the author of Just Be Honest. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking about honest communication with our good friend Stephen Gaffney. He's the expert on this topic, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of Just Be Honest, Authentic Communication Strategies That Get Results and Last a Lifetime. Stephen, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, the book is called Just Be Honest, and the website is justbehonest.com. So it's all one word, justbehonest.com. And what's want to remind the listeners, they can actually go to our website and sign up for an email tip that will come to them twice a month that will expand and reinforce the strategies. Like, we just sent one out about how to eliminate all the complaining that people do to us in our life, how to listen for the real secret message, things like that. But they can sign up for that.
And that's
and
free,
of course,
right?
Go to our web. I'm sorry?
That's free, right?
Absolutely. It's
okay.
Absolutely free. And it's
like
designed to really
things.
Help. I'm sorry?
We like free things. And the book's available wherever books are sold?
Yes, and the easiest way is if they go on our website, justbehonest.com, and if they go to our website and they actually mention your show or they call us at 1-877-6-HONEST, we'll actually give them an audio CD that's free.
Wow.
We'll put that in with the book. And
we
that's
appreciate
one.
That. Thank you. Will you autograph it too?
Oh, absolutely, but they've got to request it. So we
tell them you want your copy autographed. I've got an autographed copy of his book, by the way, folks. Stephen, let's get back into before we get into how to prevent big communication issues, I want to ask you another question about how to resolve difficult issues. You say to say one thing that you could have done differently. I like that. I think I'm going to like this. Tell us what that means.
It's a very powerful strategy, and it's very easy to do. And what it is, whenever we're confronting a difficult issue, end with whatever you're saying with one thing you could have done differently. So, for example, I noticed that we had talked about you turning in the report at 1 o'clock, and I noticed it came in at 3 o'clock. And, I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I got to tell you, one thing I could have done differently is talk to you to make sure that you had the time to do the report when we talked about scheduling, and I didn't even do that.
Maybe I wasn't clear when I said that I needed the report at 1 o'clock. I didn't just want it, I needed it at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely. What that does is it lowers the person's defensiveness. It allows them to not feel backed up in a corner. And
right.
By us voluntarily saying something we could have done differently, it opens the other person to look at themselves as well without us cornering them. Beautiful strategy.
That's a beautiful strategy, as you say, especially for an employee that typically does a good job, maybe just messed up this one time, or maybe a new employee who you're just trying to establish some standards for them. They're trying to sort of find out what the parameters are in the workplace. So rather than yelling at them, as you say, as the other company might have done, you sort of bring them along without accusing them of anything.
Absolutely, and it also does something else. By us living our life that way, we look at ourselves and say, okay, what could I have done better in this situation? And the truth is, the more we realize a problem has to do with the way we interact with that person, not our fault, but the way we interact with that person, more valuable that is, because the only person we can change in our life is ourselves. Jim, so many times people come up to me and they'll say, I have a problem with this person, and they'll say, why do I have so many problems? It's because what we focus on. When we have a problem with somebody, we focus on the very person we can't do anything about. You can't change the stimulus, but you can always change how you respond to the stimulus.
Right. All right, let's talk about another thing to avoid a big communication issues. You say listen for the real message. Tell us what that means.
Absolutely. There's sometimes what people are saying and then what they're really saying. I'll give you a good example. You have a client who calls you all the time and is asking you a ton of questions. You can look at that as, boy, they're just being a pest, which isn't going to have us really service them well. Or we could say, boy, somebody who's calling us all the time, they're probably very busy. They're probably very afraid. Maybe they're afraid that we're not going to come through for them. And so instead of us taking a long time to return their call or not being so cooperative, we want to do exactly the opposite and provide them with whatever information. And one easy way to do this is to ask them, say, I noticed you've called me a few times over this past week. I want to give you the best possible service. What information could I supply to you so that you don't feel like you need to call us all the time and we're really servicing you well?
Mm-hmm.
So listening for the real message, and what that means is the emotions that are usually driving it. A little bit complicated to go through this because we in our seminars we take a while to go to kind of teach this point. But in essence,
if you think you hear the real message, is it okay to say it back to them and to try to get them to confirm that what you really think you're hearing is true?
Absolutely, and that's where the Colombo method really helps to reduce somebody's defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Gaffney, thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
Sure, it's justbehonest.com.
The name of his book, and I encourage you to check it out, folks. Stephen, thank you for helping us be honest today.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Stephen Gaffney, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.